closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Chico Show.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
We are back on the electron circuit, or whatever it is. Yeah, not on the air, certainly.
Beam of light.
It is November, what, 7th?
Yep.
Something like that.
All day long.
And Jimmy is back from Honduras, where he aprendió un poco de español. So he did learn a little Spanish. Not much, unfortunately. It turns out that there's an age problem here these days. That my brain's all filled up with the usual crap.
The usual ideas of the younger age women.
Yeah, there was a few. I'll tell you, there was a couple of babes down there, I got to admit. And, but it was, let me tell you something about Honduras. Oh, well, before we get started, let me introduce, we have a guest.
We have a brand new guest.
Un invitado. That's right. Let me just go through. We have, of course, Counselor Curtis.
Hey, what's happening?
An engineer.
Hey.
And Tommy Gunn.
Tommy
is here today. We have special guests from afar.
Our Miami correspondent.
Our Miami correspondent, that's right.
Has hiked it all the way from Cuba/Miami.
That's right. So Jack Rhodes couldn't make it tonight, so we have
Too bad. I had a couple drug questions for him.
Yeah, well, he's probably... are those the ones he's currently sampling?
That's what I wanted to find out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why he's not here.
Wait, you mean like, are these any good?
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's my money on them.
That's right. He'll tell you next show after the recovery. We wanted to say hello to Bernie and Kyle, and we did have a... Interestingly enough, we had a record month last month.
Woo!
And this is while Jimmy was gone. And also the Gators lost 3 games while Jimmy was gone.
Yeah, and that, of course, thank you, by the way, for letting me park cars.
Yeah, which the nun showed up.
Well, your Gators lost. And the other thing is that if they lose like 3 times, it's a direct economic impact on the demand curve.
That's right.
And so, and also the neighbors are dropping their prices down to $10. But I did want to mention the fact that it was so nice of you to print up half price off parking tickets for the thing, which a lot of people showed up with that. So then they're now down to $5. Yeah, and I'm like, and it says other like homecoming game, half off, you know, when Jimmy knows he's not going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got shafted. Thanks, Jimmy.
And your point is, you noticed I wasn't here.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Also, we did get, interesting enough, we got a phone call to the Jimmy Doan hotline.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from a guy, from Roland Paul.
866-95-JIMMY.
Yeah, 866-95-JIMMY. Left us a fairly extensive message about...
You guys suck!
Yeah, no. No, about what did I think about Connecticut politics.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't know.
You went where?
Yeah, right, okay, reasons for war kind of thing, you know, they were talking about. Apparently they interviewed Lloyd What's-His-Face up there in Connecticut and so forth. For some reason, they must have misdialed. Who knows? Anyway, hello.
And, no. Well, Jimmy, you... Being a New Englander from in sort of origin.
What?
What?
Not me. I'm from the South, man. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Well,
Jimmy from Washington,
D.C. Richmond rise again.
That's closer to Connecticut than here.
Yeah, well, philosophically it ain't. Well, maybe it is these days. I don't know. It's hard to say. But remember, the Mason-Dixon line separates Maryland and Pennsylvania. So I'm from Washington, D.C. was in the South and still is. Although you'd never know it. Okay, so anyway, and also, interestingly enough, I got an email for some reason from Cecil in Tampa that had a link to what I call an EOTW site, which everybody wants to mark this down, End of the World, is now to be May 21st. I don't know the time, unfortunately, May 21st, 2011, which is a little disappointing because the sunspot cycle is supposed to peak in 2012, and Jimmy, as an amateur radio operator, wants to
looking
be here
forward
for that.
To that. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to 2012 when
that reminds me. We did get a letter from our listener, formerly known of David, definitely not my real name anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's now legally changed his name to Chief Teotwaki.
That's right,
which is the acronym.
Oh no, he's the best. If he ever shows up around Jimmy Doan, we'll have to put a Darth Vader helmet on him and get him in here and get him on. He's funny. He has some funny stuff.
Yep,
and the links he says are good.
Yeah, yeah.
We love that guy.
Thank you all listeners for sending
thank
us
you all.
In.
And we'll try and make up for the having not been here for a month, having been down in Honduras. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the trip.
Hey, well, you want to tell them where we got some of our recent listeners?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Bulgaria. Welcome, Bulgaria. Sofia. Turkey.
And Turkey from the invasion force. Maybe. Going into Kurdistan or whatever.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. Just in time for Thanksgiving. Good.
Queensland, Australia.
All right. Big place.
Let's see. Beijing.
As usual, right. Okay, we know them.
Welcome, Beijing. And your buddies in Sweden are back.
Oh, hey, good man.
Yeah, they moved up to like fourth on our list now.
Is
like
that right?
Most visited countries.
They've booked par därför att jag talar lite svenska. And jag kan tala med dem. So that's it. That's my Swedish for today.
Right. So, we have to also thank all the Scandinavians for joining in the school shooting.
What?
Did you hear about on the news today? There was a school shooting in Finland.
Yeah, I heard about
that. So the Finns finally got crazy, and somebody brought a pistol to school.
They went postal.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Congratulations to Finland. Maybe we can get some.
Yeah,
some
maybe they could. Yeah, well, board. They're becoming more Americanized every day, and that's one of the things you do. I mean, by the time you eat a couple of McDonald's, you won't want to shoot people. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
That's
trans fats.
Yeah, no, that's right. And so that's the beauty. Of course, McDonald's is not going to get they might get trans fats banned in New York City, but damn sure they're going to fatten those Finns up.
Absolutely.
So that's great. Well, anyway, also the other big news: gold over $800 an ounce.
Woo.
And when Jimmy was down in Honduras, the euro, as you know, has now reached record highs, $1.40 or something like that. And the Canadian dollar actually is worth more. The loonie is now worth more than the dollar.
What's interesting is
that the euro and the Canadian dollar are not accepted in Honduras. If you want to swap your money in, and you go show up with a pocket full of euros, too bad. You have to switch to dollars first, and then to the local stuff. The local.
You were just down there for a month, and you don't know what the local currency is called.
Yeah, it's called lempiras, actually, and limps for short.
Mm-hmm.
It's limping, actually, is what it is. It's a limping currency. It should be called the limp. And there's they have built-in inflation. Honduras has got some serious problems. Not to mention the fact that they are a rainforest, which means they got no soil, and they're cutting the trees down. What trees they do have, they're cutting them down with reckless abandon. The government's in control of way too many things down there. And I tell you, I've seen poverty before. And you hear of, I don't know what a second world country is. You hear of third world countries. This is fourth world countries. Some of these places. I mean, let me put it this way. They're talking about ecotourism. I got more ecotourism here in the backyard than they got down there. I mean, and to get there is like, oh, it's stunning. I mean, the roads are like, well, I say road, I joke. actually, to call it a path is to do it an injustice. It makes the word path bad, sound bad. But I mean, we're talking about poverty. And one of the things you don't realize about Honduras, it's really funny. You wonder why we have illegal immigration in this country or any kind of immigration from down in that neck of the woods. Honduras, you have to walk through about three countries to get up to the United States from Honduras. The Honduran presence in this country is so huge, so comparatively speaking, that literally 25% of the gross domestic product of Honduras is money that is sent back by Hondurans working in this country. The unemployment rate in Honduras is something like 10 or 12%, and it doesn't make any sense, of course. Obviously, you can trace it to some kind of government action, but you realize that 25%. The GDP in this country is like $3 trillion. That's like having $750 billion shipped back to this country from people working in France or Africa or someplace. And the bottom line is, the whole point is that you don't get a picture of what poverty really is when you realize that a person down there dreams of being a poor person in this country. That is luxury beyond their wildest expectations. To actually have a $6.22 job and they realize that they're sending money home from that. I mean, and here, of course, they complain bitterly how do you live on this? And, you know, we want to raise the minimum wage and so forth. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Here's a guy who, you know, hiked his butt up, took every risk in the world, paid some Comanche or what do you call those guys?
Coyote,
whatever. And to bring him across the Rio Grande. You know,
through the twirling blades.
That's right. And made it up here as working off the books. And we're talking about, this is not a guy who is actually doing computer science. You know, this is a person who's, I'm guessing it might be actually picking some kind of vegetable in the field. and
still enough to send home and constitute 25% of the GDP.
Exactly. I mean, that is, it's mind numbing. I mean,
so Jimmy, you were like the richest person down there.
Oh no, I was Don Himmy. That's right. Don Himmy. And kiss my ring. You know, no question. I mean, I was like, well, I sent you a picture of my leading the parade.
Yes. What was all that about?
There was a parade for human rights that they have once a week.
Uh-huh.
And justice and the American way and
the
Honduran way,
right.
Whatever it is.
So you led it.
We have to put. Maybe we have to put that on the old west side.
You didn't just run out in front of it, Jimmy?
Yeah, like they did in Animal House.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But they didn't shoot him.
Right.
No. I made some amigos. as we say in Florida. You have to. That was one of the things I went down there was to learn how to speak Floridian. Because so, you know, if you go to Miami, I had to be able to. It's cheaper to learn Spanish in Honduras than it is in Miami, although Miami's closer.
Absolutely.
Well,
right.
And that's why we got our Miami correspondent here today, Jimmy. If you want to practice here, he's fluente.
Absolutamente.
Absolutamente.
That means absolutely.
I've actually never been to Honduras, but you know, after traveling extensively throughout South America, I know that if you go down there with a big wad of dollars, you can actually get more than your ring kissed.
And you're right. Jimmy did not want to go there.
But in all seriousness, one thing that I will totally agree with you on is that once you've had the perspective of being throughout Latin America and other regions of the world, that poverty in this country is a joke. I mean, you know, you go to a trailer park in
Tommy
this
here speaking
where,
from. Having lived in Chile, Ecuador, and Colombia.
Yeah. Right. You know, you see real poverty down there. And when you go to a trailer park in the United States and there's a Cadillac Escalade parked out in front and a big plasma TV inside.
Yep.
And the people need a powered chair to wheel themselves around Walmart to get their ding-dongs.
That's right.
You realize they're not poor on the South American level. And I met some expats from all over the world as you travel through South America and other places. And I remember speaking with this one British guy who had traveled through Laos and Cambodia and Bangladesh, and he said, there's no poverty in South America.
You were lucky.
Yeah, you were. We dream of moving to South America. You mean a thatched roof and a dirt floor? Wait a minute.
We never even had a floor.
Yeah, that's it.
We had to hang from the ceiling.
That's right. Where's Contiki when you need it? I'm going to
potato for every family?
Holy smokes.
A whole potato?
Yeah, an entire potato. No, seriously, and you're right about that. I mean, I went down there and I saw this was, you don't understand. I guess they're all doing well. And the country, I forget what the size of the country is. I'm guessing it's roughly the size of West Virginia or something like that. A population of like 7 million. But the poverty is pervasive outside of the cities. And the crime rate is not to be sneezed at. It's a little unfortunate. But again, the government, it's screwed. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, literally, you can see that. And corruption is a way. I mean, if you get a speeding, there's no such thing as a speeding ticket. The speeding ticket is paid on the spot, as they say.
Sure.
You know, with a quantity of lempiras or whatever it is. Yeah. So anyway, the deal is that Jimmy's not going to be moving down there. And maybe, although interestingly enough, Rotan used to be a Brit place, so they speak a lot of English there, or patois, or whatever the heck it is.
Really?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's more English in Rotan. Honduras is Espanol itself, the climate sucks. The climate is really beastly. It's either, I mean, it's a rainforest, you know, and it is either deluge pouring down rain, or the sun beats you to death with a 94% humidity. I mean, literally. It is, and the big threat down there is also some dengue fever and stuff like that from the mosquitoes. I said, and no mosquito was going to bite Jimmy because as I walked down the street, I got so sticky that if they'd landed on me, they'd still be there. I mean, they would. I mean, literally, your clothes stick to you like instantaneously.
And if you're thirsty, you can't just like grab a big glass of tap water either.
No. Better you drink out of the river. No. All the water, and actually, bottled water is really cheap.
Yeah,
of course, it's government regulated. A lot of the transportation is government regulated and it's cheap. So there's distortions in the economy. But as you mentioned, Tommy, I was here before Jimmy left. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last show. I delivered Meals on Wheels with a friend of mine here in town to 25 homes. And these are people that can't get out, and they qualify for Meals on Wheels because they're poor and they can't get out. So, and as you mentioned, I will say this: I didn't see a plasma TV. But I did see the big, what do you call it, the projection TV.
Mm-hmm.
So they had that. They were poor. because they couldn't afford the plasma TV, but they did have a 52-inch projection TV.
Yeah.
And
they must be waiting for Hillary's new health care plan to get that.
I would guess something along those lines. But as I say, when you realize that the poverty level in this country, I think statistically something around $13,000 or something like that, and the for is that I don't even if it's for a family of four. When you realize that the GNP or what do I call it, the per capita production or income in Honduras is like $350 or $1,000 or whatever it is. I mean, it's like 1/10 or 1/15 of what we call subsistence.
Absolutely.
Grade. So you don't, people don't, you have it pretty good here being poor. So anyway, that was part of that deal. Anyway, I will tell you though that the TSA was on the job.
The TSA?
Yeah, the Transportation Safety Administration. Boy, they were on the job. Yeah, and Jimmy took four airplanes and five airports to get down there, and four airplanes and five airports to get back. Because Jimmy doesn't like to drive to a major airport.
Now, five airports and four planes, does that mean that you drove from one airport to another airport?
No. It means, think about it, there's an airport on each end.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, tricky.
Tricky. So
I know what he's talking about. I used to, when I lived in South America, there'd be like these discount flights to go back to Miami, and it'd be like hopping from Central American capital to another, and you're in a lot of...
Oh, yeah. Well, not only that, it was... The nice thing about these airplanes was that I asked for an aisle seat, and sure enough, I also got a window seat. When you realize that...
You actually had two window seats, and then you were sitting in the aisle.
Yeah, that's right. No, seriously, these planes were small. Mm-hmm. And run by and driven by the local natives. It was a little disconcerting to see that the uniform was a kind of a grassy thing and the guy was wearing a mask and carrying a rattle. and then before I got on, there was some, it wasn't exactly an Akbar thing, but there was some chanting going on and some holy water sprinkled on the plane to make sure it got off.
That's called gasoline.
Well, that's right. So anyway, no, seriously.
The magic fluid in the
that's right, magic fluid.
And we say a prayer and throw this big thing around and...
But the planes were, they were really fascinating looking. There was one that literally looked like a bus, looked like a Greyhound bus with wings. And it had like two aisles, two seats on one side and one on the other kind of thing. You know, it was what they call a 2-1 configuration. Mm-hmm. One of the other planes I flew was a 1-1, what they call a 1-1. So it actually had an aisle. You know, it was interesting. And
you take pictures of any of that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I got a couple pictures. Usual thing was that the plane didn't have to fly more than 3,000 or 4,000 feet up in the air. So, you know, as they said, as Ron White said, if one of the engines failed, the other one would get you all the way to the crash site. We'd probably be there first. And so, no, it was, as I say, TSA was on the job. Mm-hmm. TSA is... I mean, let me put it this way. Tits on a bull are useful compared to TSA. These people are, talk about useless people. And they have this shows you to what extent common sense has gone totally out. They don't have an ounce of common sense. Coming back, I was in one of those places and of course they go through your bags and I happened to have bought a tube of toothpaste. And she, you know, looked at it and it's more than 3.669236.4.5 ounces or whatever the heck it was. I used some of it, and actually it might have been on the limit, but she shows me she points to the ounce measurement on the tube and then confiscates it. And
did you tell her your drugs were in there?
No, actually, let me tell you, that's something else you don't do. As you well know, you don't say hi to your friend Jack,
right,
or anything like that. I mean, it's just, there's things you just don't do because they will cavity search you on the spot.
Did they care when you're coming into Honduras? Did they like frisk you and everything? Did they care at all?
No. Coming in, they didn't care at all. Going out was when they cared. And they cared a lot. Every place I landed, they cared again. And
you got a lot of care.
Yeah, I got a lot of care. And no, but seriously, they're like little bullies, these people. They order you around. You go through the little beeper thing, and it doesn't go off, and they say, they're not satisfied. And there was a recent article, for instance, in...
Walk back through.
No, yeah, I will go back through the little...
Here,
the little beeper.
Oh, it's beeping now.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, they take it off your belt, your shoes, your watch. I walked through a couple of times with my belt and watch. I didn't beep. I'm wondering even if it's on. But again, one time, you know, if you don't take your laptop out, of course, they get all pissed off about it. And they literally, they order. It's not a please, senor, go back. It's go back. You know, frown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, frowny face.
Back up. What did I do?
Yeah, what did I do? Right. I will say this, though. The ride down, they bumped me to first class, so I got to sit in the co-pilot seat. And no, they bumped me to first class. And there was an actual, from Miami to the San Pedro Sula, which was one of the legs, that was an actual jet. And they bumped me to first class. I felt good about that. The, see, poor is really poor. Dream about being poor. Let me just go through here my list real quick.
You see that Sharon Stone one where she kept walking through the metal detector on Saturday Night Live and they kept beeping it until she stripped completely down in brown panties?
They weren't about to do that with Jimmy. No, they, but as I say, common sense has gone out the window. I mean, really, when you realize that they are following the letter of the law or whatever, so that nobody gets sued or anything like that, or nobody gets, if the plane goes down. And then, in today's paper, there's an article about how over 90% of the fake bombs that they've planted on various airports in like 40 airports around the country go through.
Right.
They go 90%. I mean, these guys are, and they're not trying to hide them. Some of them are like, you know, they're carrying them like a cup of coffee practically, you know, and they're walking. It says bomb, do not touch, you know, kind
making
of thing.
LEDs all over.
Yeah,
it,
right. Exactly. Right. LEDs.
You know, they're PDA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, they're
personal detonation device.
That's right. So it's, and I mean, they didn't catch him, and I'm thinking, where's the seat? And they're worried about the toothpaste. I'm sitting there, you know, I'm opening up the toothpaste. I'm eating the toothpaste for the lady, saying, look, it can't be. If she says no, they confiscate it. And so it wasn't any good for anybody else. So I don't know. The deal is that that this is probably not the place that Jimmy's going to be poofing it to, in case you're interested. So don't look for Jimmy.
Well, Honduras is supposed, I mean, Rotan's supposed to be pretty nice.
Rotan, again, being a Brit, it used to be Brit.
Right.
And of course, only like 8 miles off the coast. And,
right. But I mean, there's tremendous luxury resorts going up over there.
Right. And mm-hmm. they are priced such.
Yeah, and they are priced such. But there is a breeze. I mean, over there, it's more like a Caribbean type climate.
Right. And no question. And actually, you could probably make it on Rotana. And the key is to be able to make sure that you're close enough to the swimming pool and the tequila sunrise.
Right.
The retirement enhancement fluid.
Right.
And have plenty of that on hand, which I'm sure they do. But that's still not out of the question. But the prices are about half what they are in the States. Still not cheap.
Right.
I'm done with that. Anything else you want to say about Honduras?
Any conclusions about why it's so poor?
Yeah, it's the government. The government regulates way too much stuff. They have universal health care, but of course they don't. I mean, it's like so much. It's like here they're going to do here in the States. You can insure, you can have all the insurance in the world, but if there's no doctors, there's no health care. I did go. There's a tremendous amount of people that volunteer down there, and a lot of the people that I was in the immersion school with, a couple of girls from Holland, one of them a total fox, and there were some people down, and they're going out in the woods to volunteer. There was a vet lady from Canada. She was going to go out in the woods someplace and help them with their cats or dogs or whatever it is, and, you know, small. She was a small animal vet, but she was going to help them with some of their stuff. A lot of volunteers go down there to try and help out. I don't know. Let me put it this way. I went to a couple of the places where they were doing the help out, and it takes a level of dedication that I didn't have even in my youth. I mean, it takes a lot. You got to really want. Oh, interesting. I was out in the woods. I mean, literally out in the woods in Nowheresville, met a guy from Gainesville.
What's his name?
His family does. Mac is his name. He doesn't live. Five. Now he's moved out to Kanapaha area.
Right.
But he doesn't live 5 miles from. He's been here. You know, he knows. It was like old home week. I mean, literally, there were like 4 or 5 people out at this wherever I was at.
Eco thing.
Just going to say, is this the guy who does the eco stuff? Because I met somebody around here.
Yeah, he's an eco guy. And he's coming back, as a matter of fact, on the 15th of December.
But was he down there as a tourist or was he
No,
working?
No, he's down there at this school, at this eco-type school thing where they teach the kids. They got about 40 kids from the mountains there. They teach them how to do photography, about nature, about conservation, and then the regular math and all.
So
that
he was down there for training, basically.
No, he was a teacher.
Oh, he was a teacher. Okay.
Yeah, he was a volunteer teacher guy. I mean, he's a graduate. I was probably 24 years old or something like that, 25, and decided to spend. He said it was just great. I went there, and I'll tell you this much: they got a ways to go on the ecotourism thing. As I say, I got more in my backyard than they have down there. Number, it was like when I went to Denali. You know, I spent $20,000, took grandma, took everybody up to Denali, went through it, saw like a bear, mm-hmm. a goat, you know, and 2 birds or something. No, right. A moose. And I thought it might have been a guy dressed up as a moose. I'm not sure.
I mean, real moose is extra.
Just, that was extra. So anyway, seriously, went up there and, you know, they're pointing out, I don't know, I saw a fungus, you know, a bug and something else. And I have a picture which we'll put on Jimmy hugging a tree.
Right.
I did my part for the ecology. But the disappointing thing was to see these giant 2 and 3 liter plastic bottles of Coke empty on the side of the pathway leading out to the on the eco path. I mean, you'd think if it was eco thing that they'd at least clean up the path getting there.
Right.
That's just...
Yeah, that needs a little work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They need a little work. And I'll tell you this much. Most normal tourists, other than Jimmy, who's kind of an adventure person, and even so to some extent, most normal tourists, as you drive to some of these places, they would say, turn around, we're going home. I mean, just the drive to get to the eco place is horrendous. And you're fear. You look out the window and you not exactly fear for your life, but you don't want to be there. I mean, it's that poor. So it's not something I'd be looking for. Other thing, a little note. I know I'm done with that. Done with Honduras that I can think of for right now.
Okay.
I'm going to move on a little bit. I did notice in today that there's an article did you send me the link to this where the wall to keep the illegal immigrants out is made in China?
Yeah, I sent you that.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, this is the Great Wall of China here in the United States. We've always said this. But did you notice that?
I didn't realize they were actually building it yet.
Yes, they have built at a cost of like billions. They are building a wall.
700 feet.
700 feet of it. And it says right on the little thing.
Made in China.
The steel thing's holding it up. It says made in China.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, no. I mean, seriously. Well, let me tell you something that is interesting. Gold over $800 an ounce. The euro, the dollar tanking against everything. This is a normal correction because the United States has spent like way too much money, obviously. And in going into debt. Going into our great grandchildren are going to be paying off the debt, which I think is obscene. It's amazing how Congress, of course, has no qualms about mortgaging the future of their own grandchildren, and everybody else's as well. But when we realize that the $200 billion a year or whatever it is extra they're spending, that they're going into debt to that extent. So anyway, the roosters are coming home to no, the chickens are coming home to roost. The roosters are coming home to chicken. What is it? Yeah, and the simple fact is that the Chinese, one of the reasons that the dollar is tanking is the Chinese are starting to wake up and say, we've got like a trillion of these U.S. pieces of paper, and what are we going to do with them? And because, as we've mentioned so often on the Jimmy Doan Show, the dollar is only legal tender in the United States, and which I'm going to, that reminds me to say one last little thing about Honduras in a minute. But the point is that they got the $1 trillion, however much they got over in China as their reserves, they got to spend it down back here someplace. They don't want our stuff. So they're going to start buying up us, which is, that's the way they get the money. The money has to come back here one way or the other. So that's what's going to, and that's what's happening is that, and what they're saying, of course, is that they are swapping some of the dollars for euros to some idiot in Euroland that actually wants dollars. There's some sucker over there in France or Germany or whatever it is that'll actually take the dollars off their hands, which is made probably at a descuento. As we say in Miami.
If there's any members of the Chinese government listening, I could get them a great deal on a condo in Miami.
There's a thought.
Yeah, there's some
there's a thought.
Declining real estate values down there that they could get some good deals.
And, of course, what do they care? I mean, when you realize when you have that kind of money, like, who cares anymore? I mean, a million here, a million
it's
there.
It's like Monopoly money.
It's Monopoly money. Right, exactly. It doesn't even look like your own money.
Right.
I mean, it's got a picture of some other president of some other country on it, for God's sakes. Hello? I mean, at least it could have a picture of Mao on it.
They'll probably just take it and reprint them.
Yeah, well, let's try. Just stomp it over, yeah. So anyway, that was the other thing that I wanted to mention real quick with this. The 25% of the GNP of Honduras, people will say, well, the ship of the money. You have to understand that since the dollar is a legal tender only in the United States, that money does an immediate U-turn. It comes right back to the United States, obviously, since even if they send, I don't know, I forget how much it is. It's $1 billion or whatever it is that goes down to Honduras every year. Obviously, that money has to be spent in the United States, and it creates jobs here. So it doesn't really leave here.
Does circulate down there for
a while. It does circulate.
There tends to be, I can't speak for Honduras, but I know in other countries there tends to be a black market. And especially if their economy starts going through any sort of recession, you'll see people for like either real estate or certain like major items like refrigerators, cars, and that type of thing, they'll do dollar transactions.
Right.
So it circulates around for a while down there.
Right. Again, it's tender, but it's illegal tender. It's almost like a barter in a way because, again, the money has – whoever ultimately ends up with that, whether it's the guy selling the car, buying it or whatever, ultimately that money has to come back here one way or the other. Or else, I mean, what good is it?
You have deflation if it stayed out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And wouldn't it be nice? In fact, that's one of the things that's really helped. It's like the post office, you know, they get to sell stamps to collectors. What a bargain. You know, you print a stamp up that says you charge somebody 43 cents for it and never gets used. What a bargain. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're printing up $100 bills and they go to Russia and they never come back to the United States, you know, beauty. Love to do it. I mean, it's a great thing to do. I mean, it's just a piece of paper, for God's sake. So anyway, that's good. Anyway, I love the fact that the wall of China is coming to the United States. I did unfortunately lose when I was down there, I lost one of my notebooks, and so I had some notes on there. Anyway, any particular addition anybody else wants to make on that particular item before I move on?
Move along.
Okay, I'm going to talk. Do you want to? How about if we take a break?
We can.
Okay, let's do that. So we'll have a part one or something, and then I'll come back.
Okay.
Okay, and you're going to
find something.
Find something. Remember, this is the November 7th, first November podcast for the Jimmy Doan Show, and thank you so much for downloading all the stuff, and maybe actually this one might be worth a download, too. Oh, I did want to say hello to Hanger Dog.
Hanger Dogs!
Hey,
Hanger Dogs! Das ist es! Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. Durchbohrt dich ihr Blick, dann wirst du ganz still.
Oh,
mit ihren Spinnenfingern, wenn sie will.
Hör auf!
Cruella, Cruella, umschlingt sie dich und bleist dich mit Gebrüll.
Gott, sie wird
Cruella,
dich hören.
Cruella de Vil.
Lass sie bitte rein, Nini.
Anita, süß!
Wie geht's dir?
Miserabel, Schätzchen, wäre geprahlt. Ich fühle mich elend. Wo sind sie? Wo hast du sie versteckt? Nun sag doch schon endlich, wo sie sind.
Wen meinst du eigentlich?
Die Welpen, die jungen Hundchen. Anstatt zu tuten, sollte er lieber die Hunde holen.
Das geht nicht. Du musst leider noch 3 Wochen warten. Sowas lässt sich nicht beschleunigen.
Ach, Anita, mach keine dummen Witze. Gib Pfötchen, Hund. Du sollst nicht knurren, sondern Pfötchen geben.
Cruella, ist das nicht dein neuer Pelzmantel?
Oh, du kleines, dummes Aschenputtel, ich lebe für Pelze. Pelze sind mein Leben. Ich glaube, es gibt auf der ganzen Welt keine Frau, die nicht für Pelze schwärmt.
Ich hätte auch gern einen hübschen Pelz, aber es gibt wichtigere
Sachen. Sei doch bloß nicht immer so bescheiden. Ach, ich weiß ja, ich weiß. Dieses kleine Haus ist ein Traum, Schlösschen. Und der verrückte Roger ist ein verwunschener und stolzer Märchenprinz.
Lass das, Cruella.
Und dann hast du natürlich noch deine kleinen gefleckten Freunde. Ja, ja. Ich muss wirklich sagen, es geht nichts über einen schönen Pelz.
Magst du einen Tee, Cruella?
Nein, ich muss weiter. Lass mich wissen, wenn die Jungen da sind, ja? Das wirst du doch tun, mein Engel.
Ja, Cruella.
Vergiss nicht, du hast es versprochen. Wiedersehen in 3 Wochen. Tschüss, mach's gut, meine Süße.
Oh.
Cruella hat das Zeug zu einer Hexe. Wenn sie um deine Gunst verbissen buhlt. Schon mancher ist erwacht, wenn sie um Mitternacht durch Fenster und durch Mauerritzen schmult.
Lass den Unsinn,
der wilde Vampir, der alle erschreckt. Man sollte ihn einsperren, dann bleibt er versteckt. Man sollte sie begraben unter Müll. Cruella, Cruella de Vil.
Oh. Roger, du bist mir ein schöner Dichter.
Ja. Oh, must be Cruella, your dearly devoted old schoolmate.
Cruella de Vil.
That's it.
Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh,
to
Roger.
To see her is to take a sudden chill.
Oh.
Cruella, Cruella, she's like a spider waiting for the kill.
Roger,
look
she'll
out
hear you.
Cruella de Vil.
At first you think Cruella is a devil, but after time has worn away the shock, you come to realize you've seen her kind of eyes watching you from underneath a rock.
You're no help,
Grudge. This vampire Grudge. Bat, this inhuman beast, she ought to be locked up and never released. The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella de Vil.